Well, good morning once again. I trust that through the music you were led into an attitude and a heart of worship, and you're now prepared to hear the things that the Lord has for you this morning. Our scripture text is taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 37 in verse 8. Psalm 37 in verse 8 will serve as our text. We read, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm." There are three things here that are common to men: anger, an attitude of dissatisfaction about someone or something. There is such a thing as righteous anger, but that is much rarer than each of us believes it to be about ourselves. We always think that we're righteous when we're upset, don't we? More often than not, we're sinning. Wrath is the expression of that anger, a harsh word or a violent outburst. Solomon puts it this way: an angry man stirs up strife. In other words, an angry man causes trouble. And a furious man abounds in transgression. And that word transgression simply means sin. The next verse is not placed there by accident. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. The prideful person is prone to anger. Why? Because somebody who is full of themselves has themselves at the center of their own universe. And so they tend to take things personally. It's not about the Lord, it's not about others, like everything is about me. This is the prideful person. And so when something injures their pride, or our pride, right? We all fall into this trap. What happens? We get angry. We get angry. And we ought to be diligent to catch ourselves during those times. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Now, it's not an accident that David warns us about fretting three times in the first eight verses of Psalm 37. In fact, it opens, "Do not fret because of evildoers." This is because fretting leads to anger, and anger leads to wrath. So there's a progression there. We have the sinful seed in the heart, which begins with fretting. In other words, stewing over some negative thought or negative emotion, allowing it to take root, which develops into anger, which manifests itself in wrath. So when we stew over bad feelings long enough, they would begin to control us, turning over negative thoughts in the mind. That's how we could define fretting. Jesus puts it this way in the Sermon on the Mount: "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Rakah,' shall be in danger of the council." That is human discipline. "But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire," or divine discipline. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." It's a lot more productive to swallow the pride and go and ask forgiveness from somebody than to stew over it to the point where that root of bitterness becomes a tree of wrath. Fretting indicates dissatisfaction with God's providence. Fretting is a waste of time. And there are greater things on which the child of God can dwell instead. First, fretting indicates dissatisfaction with God's providence. The fretter seeks what he or she wants, but not necessarily what he or she needs. And we got a lot of that going around this holiday Christmas season. A lot of the I wants going around. And this is, of course, is encouraged by our culture. And we'll never get enough. You know, if we're paid $100,000 a year, we're going to want $200,000 a year. It's not the answer. The fretter even worries that God may deny basic needs. But Jesus says to you and I that God has it covered. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first what? The kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. In other words, get your priorities straight. Put spiritual things first. And then your communion with God will be such that you're not going to worry about the small stuff. You'll trust God to take care of you. Because you'll be in a state of communion with Him, which will cause you to be in the place where you're continually hearing and stewing over, we might say, fretting in a positive sense, over His great and glorious promises that He's got for you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You see, excessive worry is an unhealthy behavior, and a sinful one. The worrier thinks that they can control events, a wishing that they can. Worry is a controlling behavior. Now, this week, I'm going to tell you a story. On Thursday, I think it was, my printer went down. And, you know, I do a lot of things with this. It went down, like, it would print all of the colors except black. Like, you got to be kidding me. So we've been blessed with a bulletin this morning that's in Technicolor. That's, and, you know, and that's wonderful. And, you know, so what am I going to do? All right, try to figure it out. If I made myself sick over it, it wouldn't have done me any good. You know, so he says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to print out everything that I know I've got to print out for the following week, and that's why we've got, you know, CDs that are in different colors than they usually are, and, you know, we got to learn to be flexible, you know, in life in general. And what am I going to do? I can worry about it. I can make myself sick. I can, you know, go crazy. I can spend hours about it, or I can just deal with it and move on with life. Simple examples, right? Things like this that we go through in life that cause us to lose our peace. And it wouldn't have done me a bit of good. And so, rather than worrying, it's better to follow Peter's advice. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Casting all your care upon Him. All your care. Not holding any back. But all your care upon Him. For He cares for you. Some even get mad at God and they get mad at the world. And they develop an irreverent attitude. You ever meet people like this? Have you ever known somebody like this? I did. I knew somebody like this. I look at him in the mirror every morning. Mad at God, mad at the world, don't like the way things are going, and therefore my attitude's irreverent. And by irreverent, it doesn't have to be blatantly irreverent. I don't have to be cursing God to His face or anything. And that's just an attitude of life, where you go through life as if God doesn't exist or as if God isn't going to take care of you. So as we said, fretting can develop from a root of bitterness into a tree of misery because of dissatisfaction with your lot in life over time. If you water a plant, what happens? If you water a seed, what's going to happen? It's going to grow. It's going to grow. If you water negativity, what's going to happen? It's going to grow. If you have negative thoughts, it's better to starve them of water, that they don't grow and they die before they even have a chance to grow into a plant. The Lord says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you," says the Lord, "thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Do you believe this, friends? Do you believe this?
Yes.
Everybody, to a man or to a woman, "Yeah, I believe this. I believe this, and I like that promise. That's a good one." But do you act in your life as if God was lying to you when he said that? How many times throughout the week do we act as if God wasn't telling the truth? As if God's plan is not to give you a future and a hope because you don't walk in it. Fretting is a waste of time. Why? Solomon gives us a terrific reason. "You do not know what a day may bring forth." 90% of what we worry about tomorrow isn't going to happen. "Sufficient for today is its own troubles." Paul says, "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Now that's a good scripture for marriage, right? We're not to go to bed angry with our spouse. And that's usually the context in which we hear it applied. But by way of application, "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath" could mean, do not let your concerns, your fretting, your anger go to bed with you at night. Rather, leave them with God through prayer and sleep well. Because God is going to do more with your problems while you sleep for 8 hours. If you're lucky, you get 8 hours of sleep. God's going to do more with your problems while you sleep than you're going to do by tossing and turning. Harry Truman. We all know Harry Truman. President of the United States in the first half of the century, World War II era. He had many cares, but he was fond of pointing out the reason for his peaceful disposition and success. He would tell anybody who'd want to listen, "I sleep well at night." I'm paraphrasing him a little bit. He said this on many occasions. "The reason I sleep well at night is because I don't take all of these things to bed with me. I finish my business and I leave the rest to the Lord. When I wake up in the morning, I'm going to have a whole new set of problems that I'm going to have to deal with. But it's not going to do me any good as President of the United States to lose my peace and to lose my cool. It's not going to give me a clear head when I've got men and women in harm's way overseas." This guy was the President of the United States of America. How many more cares does he have than you and I? And he was able to do it. How many cares did our Savior Jesus Christ have on his shoulders, carrying around the sins of the world on his shoulders, knowing that one day all of these sins would be placed upon him at the cross? How many cares did he have? And yet, he set his face like a flint to carry out the work that his Father had for him to do on earth, up to and including death upon a cross. If you feel as though there are just so many cares. Yeah, I know about President Truman. And I know about Jesus, but you say, yeah, he was God. He was able to deal with it. And you still say, pridefully, but you don't realize I've got more cares than everybody else on this planet. Maybe there's something in your life claiming your time that doesn't need to be there. Maybe there's something renting space in your head that ought to be evicted. Solomon puts it this way. Second wisest person who ever lived. Jesus Christ being the first, Solomon the second. Better a handful with quietness than both hands full, together with toil and grasping for the wind. In other words, it's better to only take on what you can deal with. Don't bite off more than you can chew, to put it in a modern day proverbial context. Now there are greater things on which the child of God can dwell instead. We can change the things that we think about. Here's the solution. We've worked very much from the direction of the negative, with a little bit of humor in there in order to illustrate a lot of truth. But we can change the things that we think about, that we dwell on, that we meditate on. The psalmist says of the child of God, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. You ever wonder how the Amish do it, or how lay ministers are able to work a full-time job and yet work ministry full-time? The Apostle Paul had to do it for a good part of his ministry. He wasn't able to be supported full-time in the work, and so he went back to his trade. He made tents, just like everybody else. No harm, no foul. You do what you got to do. You serve God preaching the word, you serve God making the tent. What's the difference? Why is this? Why is this? How was he able to do that? Spiritual worship can be done in the flow of the day. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. We can worship God while we work. We can whistle while we work too, but we can worship God while we work. We can pray while we work. We can worship God through our work, realizing that our service is unto the Lord. When we go to work and we give 110%, no matter what the circumstances are, and somebody comes to you and says, you know, the boss is a creep. You know, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this for him? Well, no, I'm not doing it for him. I'm doing it for my God. I'm doing it for my God. And you've got a golden opportunity to present the gospel. I can't tell you how many times that's come up in my work life. And, you know, to my shame, I'm sure either knowingly or unknowingly, I've missed the opportunity. But look for opportunities like that in your daily life. And if you're a slacker on the job, then shame on you. Then shame on you, because you've just missed a whole bunch of opportunity to preach the gospel in word and in action. My last exhortation to Christians this morning is taken from God's word. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Do not fret. Never mind the stewing around the negative emotions and the negative feelings. Stew around the positive emotions and the positive feelings. The Christian is called to this. And my last word of warning to unbelievers or skeptics either in this room this morning or listening via some other media on CD or the internet or what have you, is this. It's also from God's Word. Because I trust that God's Word, when it says it will convict the hearers, that God is telling the truth. And what does it say of sinners, of skeptics, of unbelievers? Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. The way of peace they have not known. Somebody without Christ does not know the way of peace. Why? Because Jesus is the way of peace. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. God offers peace to you this morning. Therefore, pray after this manner, and the rest of us will quietly pray for your soul. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. My thoughts, my desires, all of these things have not helped me any. I've tried my own way and I don't have any peace, and I desperately long for this peace that I've heard about this morning. Lord, give me that peace. I accept Jesus Christ here and now as my Savior. I don't fully understand what that means. But I trust you that you'll help me to understand. Friend, the Lord promises that all who come to Him will in no wise be cast out. On the authority of God's Word, God hears your prayer and accepts you this morning. May Jesus Christ receive all of the glory in all things. Amen and amen. Amen.